Thank you, Ron. What you're doing this morning is what I'm talking about in my sermon. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. How do you see God? Some don't have a very good God concept because most often he's portrayed in Scripture as a father, and since they didn't have a very good father, their picture of God the Father isn't a pleasant one. On top of that, the idea of striving to make God happy with them is foreign. So many people understandably respond with, who cares if God is happy with me? I could never make my dad happy with me. The father I had, the father I knew, was hypercritical and harsh. I don't know what pleasing God means. Despite that, God the Father is the best example of what a good father is. If you want to know what a good father is, all we have to do is look to him. We have to just look to our Heavenly Father. Paul tells us that when we accept him as our Lord, he adopts us into his family, and we can call him Abba, which is the Aramaic and Hebrew term for daddy. It's a close approximation to our English word, daddy. And daddy is more than another way to refer to a male parent. It's a term of endearment. My brothers and sisters and I called our father daddy until the day he died. And every time we talk about him, we talk about daddy. He was gentle and he was kind, and we knew we were cherished by him, and it was easy to cherish him back. His grandkids adored him too. This is Emily and her cousin Mark with Grandpa a few years ago. Daddy is a tough act to follow. Okay, I got home at 1 o'clock this morning, so I'm tired. Let's say that maybe that's why my emotions are running high. Daddy was a tough act to follow, but I do my best. My sister, Beth, commented on a picture that I posted from Easter 2 weeks ago. She said she loved the picture, and one of the reasons is that so often she sees Daddy in me. And she said, in this case, I have Daddy's hands. Any time I get positively compared to my dad is a high honor for me. But what is an even higher honor is to reflect our Abba Father in heaven. So you don't have to be a daddy here to be an Abba and to reflect our Abba Father, male or female. One of the reasons my dad was so cherished by everyone is that he did that, he reflected his Abba Father. And I strive to as well. And it is good if you do as well. And since a good daddy is so cherished, kids will strive to please him and to bring him joy. And that's my point today. God is pleased when we give. And often when we think of giving, we think of the offering time. We think of the monetary thing. But I think of how when Jason called me at 9:15 and said the rain is coming through my roof into my house. I can't lead music this morning. I called up Keith and he was willing to help. I called up Ron and he was willing to help. They give in season and out. Ron says, well, we have to be ready in season and out. And some people are readier to help with music. And so I called Ron first. But I've been blessed to think of how appropriate this message is, because it's not just about money. It's about giving in any way. And God is pleased when we give. We began a 5-Sunday series last week entitled What Happens When We Give. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact and not a question. What happens when we give? And it's from this little booklet, What Happens When We Give. And we began last week with a talk that presented the fact that we find our purpose when we give. We don't give to please God. But since it's a part of what our purpose is, pleasing God is a natural byproduct of giving. And that is that our Abba Father is pleased. And it's a joy to please him when we do anything according to his plan and according to his design for us. For instance, this is a famous one, and it dates a lot of us in this room. If you remember the movie Chariots of Fire, it was about British runner Eric Liddell, who was the subject of that movie. And he said that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. Well, here's another sure bet. When we give, we feel God's pleasure. When we please God, then we know that we can be pleased too. We know we're on the right track when we are doing what God smiles upon. It's good to get praise. Who doesn't like it? For the past month or so, when we praise Fiona, she congratulates herself with applause. We say, good job, or whatever. That was great. And she claps her hands for herself. She's mirroring what we've been doing. And when she does another new thing. But she also knows that it pleases us. And shouldn't she be pleased with herself as well? Paul told the Corinthian church, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm going to unpack the passage that comes from in the last sermon in this series on the first week in May. So I'm not going to say anything more about that other than to ask, does that mean that God doesn't love a grumpy giver or someone who doesn't give at all? Is it saying that he doesn't love them? No, not at all. He loves us no matter how much or little we give. He loves us all the same. His love isn't based on what we do at all. but it pleases us to please him. We can give ourselves applause. You see, generosity is more than action. It's an attitude. The poor widow that we read about in Luke 21 is a prime example here. Rich people were walking through the court of women in the temple, and they were dropping bags of money into the collection receptacles. The implication is that it was a big show. Who's the most generous giver? Who's the greatest? Or maybe it was a, can you top this one? Chink. But Jesus pointed out that if there was such a thing as the greatest giver, if there was such a competition, it would be the widow who, in faith, knowing that you cannot outgive God, gave everything she had. So it's not the amount, it's the motive. Is it for the kingdom, or is it for people to see and to be impressed? We need to please the one who knows our motives and our hearts. We're not trying to please anyone else. And that's why this widow woman was a blast of bright light for Jesus. She really pleased Jesus when she came in and dropped two tiny coins into the offering plate. Her giving certainly pleased her Lord. And despite that, this woman was also an example of how giving costs something. In fact, giving actually means giving everything. That's what Jesus is implying here. As I said a little bit ago, it's not about the amount that matters, except in this case. We're supposed to give 100% unless you're giving blood. In every other case, as Christ followers, Jesus is asking us to give everything. He didn't stop at a tithe, which was 10%. Jesus said, everything. I want all of you. What our giving often shows is what is left over that matters, and what we give reveals our faith. The widow that impressed Jesus so much only had a couple of pennies to her name. It would have paid for a meal or two at best. But she put everything she had into the coffers. Hers was an act of obedience and faith. It was obedience in that we are called to bring our gifts into the storehouse. Malachi talks about that in chapter 3, verse 10. And it is faith in that the widow took God's word for it when he promised that that as we generously give, he will fabulously bless. That's also in that same verse. He said, the windows of heaven will open and my blessing will be poured out. And the blessing will be in making sure that you have enough, not that you have a Cadillac or a mansion. God will provide. You can't outgive him. She knew if she gave everything she had, God would take care of her. The others here were indeed giving out of obedience. But it took much less faith when what they were giving was out of their abundance rather than any kind of need. I think it's important that we don't disparage the givers, the other givers in this account. Yes, the implication would make them look puffed up and that they would be perhaps bragging with their giving. But really, they are more like us Americans in comparison to the two-thirds world givers. I remember how when I was doing a Bible conference in Webuye in western Kenya when offering came on Sunday morning, the giving was a few small coins, and I kind of judged them. I thought, Elam and Francisca do so much. Can't you people give more? They didn't have more. And they gave the Kenyan coin, the Kenyan dollar is 80, compares to 80 cents on an American dollar. And they were giving a small portion of that. And yet they were giving out of obedience and faith. And I had to repent of that. And I had to remind myself of it as I prepared this message, how judgmental and wrong I had been to judge them for the amount they were giving. They were giving out of obedience and faith. And it was easy for me to look down at them as an American. And I repent of that. And so this isn't an indictment of our giving. Instead, what we're talking about here is that sacrificial giving pleases God. It also shows that He doesn't miss it when we give everything. And when we do, He will take care of us. As I say over and over and over again, you cannot outgive God. So even though giving in any way, whether financially, whether it's time-wise or spiritual, or coming in at the last second and playing the keyboard and leading music, anything we do has a cost to it. But the investment is very worth it. Fred Holland said that the benefits are out of this world. We are investing in the kingdom, and He is pleased when we give. And that's the truth. God is pleased when we give. And when we give, we are also pleased as well. We know we are doing what God has called us to do. And our giving reveals our attitude. Is it grateful? Is our giving grateful, or is it grudging? Is it humble, or is it proud? When we bring, what we bring to the table shows what's going on inside our spirit. And then finally, godly generosity is sacrificial. It costs us everything. But as we give everything, we find out how much God gives back. And as we discover that, we see just how much God is pleased with what we give. Amen? Amen. Amen.